went straight to Brzezinski's home for what's called a strictly social occasion, a chance to sample some American cooking, a roast beef dinner. President Carter will formally welcome the Chinese delegation tomorrow morning at the White House. And in San Francisco tonight, a group of U.S. officials arrived back home after a goodwill visit to Taiwan. Congressman John Ashbrook is one of the members who went to Taiwan to reassure leaders there of U.S. support.
Right now, we're going to witness the visit of an unrepentant leader of a country that has killed, by every estimate, from 20 million to 50 million people. I think the average Chinese on the Republic of China, island of Taiwan, believes they would be extinguished if the Chinese communists were to control their island, and I think history shows they would.
Congressman John Ashbrook is a Republican from Ohio. We'll have more news in a moment.
Hello?
Marge, it's Fran. Oh. Did I wake you up?
Oh, no. I always talk like this in the middle of the night. Oh, anything wrong?
Nothing, really. It's just one of those nights when I can't fall asleep. I took an aspirin, but it did nothing for me.
Why should it? Aspirin's for headaches. What you need is a sleeping aid. On the way to work, pick up some Compose.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose actually helps you fall asleep when you want to fall asleep at bedtime.
Marge Walker.
Marge? Fran. Thought I'd call you during the day this time so as not to scare you to death.
Hi. How'd the Compose work?
Oh, great. I don't get sleepless nights often, but if I do again, Compose is what I'll take.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Compose is available at all drug counters.
Senator Edmund Muskie of Maine says as much as $5 billion in President Carter's proposed 1980 budget might be shifted to social programs. That, says Muskie, would ensure congressional approval. Muskie is the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. And speaking on the CBS News broadcast, Face the Nation, he repeated doubts about the administration's economic projections for fiscal 1980, which begins in October. According to Senator Muskie, the administration's projected rises of 6.2% in unemployment and 7.4% in inflation may be too optimistic. More fighting broke out today in Iran. Troops opened fire with machine guns on anti-government demonstrators armed with firebombs. At least 27 people are reported killed in the latest fighting. Prime Minister Bakhtiar reportedly still plans to fly to Paris tomorrow for what he hopes will be a meeting with Ayatollah Khomeini. The Ayatollah still wants Bakhtiar to resign before their meeting. The Shah of Iran is still in Morocco and apparently plans to stay a while longer. Doug Sager has details.
For the first time since his arrival here in Marrakesh, the Shah's aides have begun to talk about the Shah's so-called vacation in terms of dates. Sources close to the Shah were previously reluctant to compromise any chance of a quick return to Iran by committing the Shah to a definite period of absence. But now these sources say the Shah has admitted that his self-imposed exile will last at least for another 3 months. The next 3 weeks will reportedly be spent here in Morocco, where the Shah has been joined by his family. The Crown Prince will fly back to the United States on Friday to resume his jet training exercises in Texas. But the Shah's other three children will stay here with their parents at the palace on loan to the Iranian royal family. Doug Sager for CBS News, Marrakesh.
CBS News continues after this.
There's a sport for every season with CBS Radio sports coverage on most of these stations. In the fall and winter, football is king with live coverage of National Football League games with plenty of postseason events, including the division playoffs, the championship games, the Super Bowl, and Pro Bowl. In college ball, the Sun and Cotton Bowls. And then as spring comes on, CBS Radio Sports brings you the Masters Golf Tournament from Augusta, Racing's Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. Summer and baseball were made for each other. And CBS Radio Sports brings you baseball's biggest night of the summer, the All-Star Game in July, plus the League Championship Series and the World Series in September and October. And throughout the year, you'll be there with CBS Radio Sports with specially selected golf and tennis tournaments. There's a sport for every season on most of these stations of CBS, your number one radio network for news, programs, and sports.
George Bush has been chairman of the Republican National Committee, CIA director, diplomat, and congressman, and now he's thinking about being president of the United States. He said today he's all but a candidate, and then added, if you walk like a duck and quack like a duck, then it's fair, he says, for people to assume you're a duck. But Bush also said that if he gets an underwhelming response during the New Hampshire primary, around 2%, he said, then, in his words, he would be deader than a duck. John Bohannon, CBS News.
Be good to yourself and others. Obey the speed limit. The faster you drive, the less control you have. Speeding just increases your chances of death or injury. So slow down. You have a lot of life ahead. Service message from the Governor's Traffic Safety Council and this station.
From the KQV Weather Center, here's the official forecast for the Pittsburgh area. Windy and cold with snow flurries now through Tuesday. The low in the low 20s tonight and in the mid-teens Monday night. Highs will be in the upper 20s both Monday and Tuesday. Chances of snow 90% tonight, 80% to Monday, and then down to just 60% Monday night. The extended outlook for the period Wednesday through Friday, a chance of snow flurries each day, lows 5 to 15, highs in the upper teens to the upper 20s. This is KQV Pittsburgh.
Going out of town tomorrow? We'll tell you what to wear. Commuter City weather twice an hour on News Radio 14, KQV Pittsburgh.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. There are many sports, of course, and I enjoy them all. But in my heart of hearts, I have to confess that there is no one of them quite like baseball. Why is that? Oh, it has to do with the fact that the clock never runs out on a baseball game. It is played till the last out. That it has a slow, stately grace and infinite complexities. But most of all, because it is the ball that controls the game. Except perhaps during a part of this one special season.
He drives him back again.
I wish Dusty wouldn't crowd that plate.
I wish he'd wear an ear flap. If he gets hit on fastball.
Stop! Low break! Hit him. Right in the temple.
Get the trainer. Have the ambulance stand by. Dusty won't get up so quick from this beating.
Our mystery drama, The Devil's Brew, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hey, buddy, can you give a fella a break?
Sorry, fella, I only give at the office.
I'm not looking for a handout.
What can I do for you?
Help save my life and breath.
Do you need mouth-to-mouth breathing? I'm not the type.
No, but you're smoking. And your smoke is hitting me where I breathe. And what with an allergy and pollution, you're not helping any.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you.
Sure, but the fact is that your smoke is getting in my eyes and nose and throat. And that's not a good song for my lungs.
Well, you could always move away.
I do, and then there's another one puffing away in my face. How about a deal? Like the Lung Association says, smoke if you must, but make smoking a private affair. Or quit. Secondhand smoke is truly offensive for non-smokers.
Well, I'll give it a try.
Wish you would, otherwise they're going to hang a tag on you.
A tag?
Yeah, cigarettes are a health hazard, and so are you.
Got you, buddy. Now, about that handout...
Save it. Let me give you one. Your Lung Association says that giving up smoking is a matter of life and breath.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. Are you in the market for a used car? If you are, it would be wise to shop around until you get a feel for the market. It's important for you to find out if the car is covered by a warranty. A used car warranty is limited. For example, it may cover the first 1,000 miles or 30 days. Remember, however, the warranty is as good as the dealer who backs it. And you check his reliability with your local Better Business Bureau. Also, remember that careful inspection is the key to enjoying a used car. Be sure and look for rust. Check the tires, the shock absorbers, and the operating controls. And incidentally, it's also a good idea to take a test drive. You see, by giving the car the once-over before you buy it, you're protecting yourself against a faulty purchase and a lot of headaches after you've bought it. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau.
In every generation, a crop of baseball phenoms crop up. For that matter, every year. But only a small percentage hang in there. I'm talking about the real phenoms. A Babe Ruth, a Sandy Koufax, a Joe DiMaggio, a Willie Mays. But strip it down to bare facts. Pitchers against hitters. It is the hitters who can win for you every day. So in my book, they are the very special gold. This is the story of one such hitter.
I've lived a long life and a good life, and I got no complaints. Baseball was good to me, and the Lord, too. And you could look it up. It's all there in the book. Now, I see a lot of players come and go. Humpty Dumpty's average guys, and a few you got no words for. They're just so good. Now, I never had a son, more's the pity, or a daughter. But there was Dusty. I don't know. He had some kind of fancy moniker like Dustin after the movie star. The old one, I mean. Dustin Farnham, that was. But the kid's other name was Lane. So like it always is in baseball, the nickname stuck. Dusty. I remember the first year he showed up at training camp.
Man, that kid's got power.
No, no, Gunner, you take power. A lot of guys had power, and where'd they go? You gotta make contact. Look at the way that kid meets the ball.
Yeah, sweetest swing this side of heaven.
I got my eye on him in the 3i League all last season. He hits the long ball, but he don't have to. He can go with a pitch. So I tuck him away in the back of my mind. Maybe we could bring him up this season. You think it's crazy? He's only 19.
He hits like that in the majors, I'd be glad to change his diapers for him.
Good you feel that way. I already got you marked as roommates.
Hey, now wait a minute, Chief. A 19-year-old kid? What about...
For 1 year, get the kid started off. If I bring him up this fast, you could make some sacrifice.
Okay, Chief. If the kid holds up through spring training, you stuck me with a roommate. I'll teach him all I know. About baseball.
Hi, youngster.
Well, Mr. Stacy Engel.
How you feeling?
Oh, pretty much like a rooster in a new hen coop. I just can't believe I got so much going for me.
Yeah, going north with a contract in your jeans, playing the majors for the first time. That's got to be a good feeling. Now, how come when I came back here to talk to you, you looked like you just whiffed with two out in the bottom of the ninth, one run behind, and the bases loaded?
Well, I didn't mean to look unhappy.
Well, I guess none of us ever mean to be that way, but it happens. Are you homesick?
Well, a little, I reckon.
Your folks didn't come down to the training camp?
No, sir.
You got folks?
Oh, yes, sir.
Jimmy Trapp, who scouted you out, said he never saw no sign of them, and you didn't seem to want to talk about them. I wonder why.
It's mighty hard for me to talk about my folks.
You lost them, son?
Huh? Oh, no. The Lord didn't take him home or like that, sir.
You just didn't hit it off so good.
Oh, no, sir. It weren't like that, neither. It's some hard to explain. See, Dad goes on down to the mines like most folk in our town.
In Tennessee?
Yes, sir. Fry's Corners, I don't reckon you maybe ever heard of it. See, the way it was, long about when I was, 12 maybe, Dad got his in the mines. I mean, he got hurt pretty bad, and he was set out to pension. So things was mighty tight growing up, and most I ever used to think of was how soon I could get out to work and help.
What you're doing now, right?
Well, now, except, well, see, Ma, she always had this sort of dream that I could go to college, and Paul, he was just waiting till I got big enough to go down the mines and take some of the burden off Ma's shoulders.
What about you? How'd you feel, huh?
Well, I had this kind of dream that somehow I could get Ma and Pa out of things like they had been. I was a fair to middling student, but I wasn't digging us out of the Tennessee valleys with that. Thing was, I was an athlete, so the one thing I always dreamed is someday I'd be a baseball player.
You didn't want the education, huh?
Well, yes, sir, and no, sir. You see, Ma and Pa ain't getting any younger. And besides, it was Sally Mae.
Your sweetheart?
Yes, sir. Well, now, I don't rightly know anymore.
I'll finish it for you. Your Pa said if you didn't go to the mines, you were ducking out. Your Ma only wanted you to go on to college where you'd maybe end up a lawyer or a doctor or president. And Sally Mae turned on the waterworks and said you never loved her anyway and she never wanted to see you again and she was going to take up with Clint or Scotty or some other lunk who could promise to hang around and didn't even know he was stuck, right?
Well, you're right about Ma and Pa. He threw me out. That's why I just got to prove myself. I gotta make good, Mr. Engel.
Don't press it, son. Let it come easy and gentle. You got all the tools. If a fella don't give himself at least one chance at it, how's he ever gonna know? You gotta have faith in yourself.
That's what Sally Mae says.
Chalk one up for her. Now, what's she do?
Oh, she's teaching and working as a waitress.
Teaching? She older than you?
Oh, no, sir. She teaches in our Bible school. We're some religious down our way. That's what worries me most of all.
What's that?
Well, that I should be listening to my Ma and Pa. You know what the good book says?
I have dug into it and out of it in my time. Now, what were the particular words you had in mind?
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land.
Dusty, son, I wouldn't worry too much. I think you made the right move. I think in the long run, you're going to be able to honor them a lot more and a lot sooner by being right where you are, God willing.
Well, I surely hope he is, sir, and that he's going to help me get enough cash money to make up to them for all they suffered through.
I gotta say, it looked like Dusty's prayer had been answered as he burned up the league through May, past June, July, and the All-Star Game. He's a Saints for Rookie of the Year and gets named to the outfield. Why not? Hitting 392. Only Rod Carew in the other league is ahead of him by one percentage point. And then it happened.
Why'd you call it on him, umpire? You see how he low-bridged my man? What should he do, get away with murder?
Leave it lay, Stacy. No umpire can call a beanball against a pitcher long as Dusty hangs in that close on the plate.
I wouldn't mind so much if he'd wear the ear flap. Sure and fate, he's gonna...
What do you mean, strike? Why don't you wear your contacts?
What's the count, Gunner?
2-1. I figure he'd try to sneak the fastball by. Shall I give him the hit sign?
Let Dusty make his own guess. Just what he did, even up, 2-2. He might waste this one, see if Dusty goes fishing.
Fastball! Fastball!
I slipped on the kid. Oh, no!
I knew it. My fault.
Hit him right on the temple, under the helmet. He dropped like a stone.
Get the trainer and the stretcher, and make sure the ambulance is ready. That boy ain't gonna get up so fast from this one. I hate hospitals. It ain't bad enough at my age. I'm always scared they won't let me out. But I lost more good ball players inside them than I ever done in the draft. Well, after we see Doc Widows, Gunner and me were standing by Dusty's bed. And the kid looked like he wasn't even out of grammar school, except he was so big. But he was so still. Concussion. They were still trying to read the x-rays. I hate to say it. It was in my mind. Maybe there goes the kid, and with him for sure goes the pennant.
Hey, Stacy.
Yeah, Gunner?
How is he? You talk to the doc?
Well, what do they know? Double talk. Concussion. Maybe he shakes it off. Maybe he doesn't. He's in a coma right now.
Well, then, how come he's twitching like that?
Now, go on.
Look at him.
Maybe he's coming, too. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Who are you?
Now, you don't recognize me?
Sorry, sir. I just don't recollect we ever even had a nod and acquaintance.
Well, now, you had no reason to take up with me, you see. Because you stayed at home, out of the primrose path.
Oh, pardon, Mr. I'm sorry, I don't know the name.
Mr. Conjurman, you can call me. And I'm here to take you.
To take me? Where? Home?
Now, that depends on what you think of as home. Tennessee? Oh, no. You ran away from there.
Oh, yes, sir.
Against the way your ma and pa wanted.
Well, that was only...
Too late to wiggle out of it, boy. You broken ma on one commandment. So I've been sent to claim you.
Well, you can't claim me. I'm signed under contract to the Cougars.
You signed to a bigger contract than that, boy, which takes priority. You have sinned, and you have transgressed, and the Lord in his rightful anger smote you down. Who do you think threw that baseball?
Well, I reckon if and you believe that he makes everything happen, you could say the good Lord.
Exactly. In his wrath, he struck you down and turned his back on you, which made you a free agent, son, open to all bidders. So we are going to exercise that option, and I'm here to take you with me.
Where's that, Mr. Conjurman?
A piece south of here. We call the team the Hellcats. We got quite a lineup. Come on, boy. It's time to go.
You mean... It's all over for me? I'm gonna be dead?
Well now, Dusty boy, would I be here making an offer if we felt you would?
Every time I tell this story, I have the same unbearable desire to know the full lineup of the Hellcats. If Stacy Engel knew it, it's the one part of the story he's never revealed. But the rest, I can. Such is what happened to Dusty Lane and where he played out his contract when I return with Act Two.
What if you went off to college and found that you were different from everyone else and everything was designed for them, not for you? Suppose you went to the library and all the books you needed were in Braille and you were the only one who couldn't read. You'd feel left out, wouldn't you? And what if you went to class and found that there were no chairs because all the other students rolled in with their own wheelchairs? Suppose one of your professors gave his lectures talking with his hands, only his hands, and everyone understood sign language except you. You'd think it wasn't fair. Well, that's how handicapped people feel now when they go to college and find extra handicaps. But things are changing. And we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education.
Here's an important tax tip from the Internal Revenue Service. If you're 65 or older, there are some special tax breaks that you can claim, like a double personal exemption. That's right, an extra $750 for yourself, and still another if your spouse also is 65 or older. And there are advantages if you decide to sell your home and move to a smaller place. There's also a tax credit for the elderly. They're all spelled out in one of IRS's free publications, number 554, Tax Benefits for Older Americans. You can get copies by calling the IRS toll-free number listed in your telephone directory, or you can order by mail. There's even an order form just for that purpose in each tax package. Use it to send for the Older American publication or any other IRS publication or form you need. Tax benefits for older Americans. Get all the details now so you can take advantage of the benefits on your tax return.
Of course, it also occurs to me every time I tell this story that possibly neither Dusty himself or Stacy Engel, to whom he revealed the whole confrontation with the ambiguous Mr. Conjureman later, ever knew it either. Certainly, at the place we are in the story, Stacy knew nothing of any of this, as he and Gunner leaned solicitously over the tortured boy who was still involved in a dialogue with Mr. Conjureman.
But I don't want to be dead. I don't want to join your team.
You better, boy. We got a claim on you.
No, you ain't. I'd be ready to take you to the baseball commissioner with that.
This is a higher authority. Put it this way, Dusty. You already broke three commandments I know of.
Which?
The fifth, honor thy father and thy mother. And the fourth, you have not kept the Sabbath holy.
But Sunday's the big baseball day. You know how many doubleheaders are played on Sunday.
I ain't arguing, boy. I'm just pointing a finger. And then there's the first commandment.
Oh, thou shalt have no other gods but me.
See, you know it because it's in your own mind. I don't have to speak it out for you, Dusty. Now, which have you paid more attention to in the last years? The Lord or baseball?
Well, see, you got to understand, Mr. Conjureman, during the season, a fella's got to bear down. It takes a power of concentration.
You haven't answered my question.
Well, I guess during the season, anyway, I'd have to say baseball.
So you have sinned. And I'm here to claim you under a contract that supersedes any other you might assign, and that gives me the right to your services with no let or hindrance, not even including the intervention of the baseball commissioner himself. So come on, boy, let's go.
No. Whatever I done wrong ain't that big. You can haul me away.
You better. You know what'll happen if you don't go with me? You ain't never gonna hit another baseball as long as you live. You just struck out. Struck out.
Struck out? You ain't gonna strike out on us now, kid, just when we need you.
What'd you say?
Well, we need you, son. You're our big bat. You gotta come on home, boost us to the pennant, maybe even the world championship.
That you, Mr. Engel?
Sure, sure. How you feel, son?
Well, reckon I don't know all the way. Kinda mixed up, and I sure am sleepy.
That's fine. You rest up, son. We'll hold the line till you get back. Then you and me and the team is going to go all the way. Now, I'm counting on it, you hear?
Well, I hear you, Mr. Engel. I just hope I can live up to what you want.
2 days later, Dusty was back with us, good as new, only I don't know as I liked the way he was meeting the ball in the batting cage, which was not at all. Only you figure a conk on the head and 3 days in the hospital don't exactly sharpen your batting eye. He wasn't laying the bat on the ball. And all of a sudden, though it wasn't really that way, it just built up. He was 0-17. Come on in.
Mr. Engel, you wanted to talk with me?
Yeah, Dusty, you come on in. Here, close the door.
Yes, sir. I guess you want to ball me out?
Because you're going 0-17?
Well, I ain't helping the team.
And you ain't helping yourself feeling sorry for yourself. Now, what do you think's the problem?
What? Don't rightly know how to say it.
Well, it ain't the way you're swinging. Me and Gunner check that out. And you're not carrying no foot in the bucket.
Well, the pitchers don't scare me none, if and that's what you mean.
I'm glad somebody figured for once exactly what I mean. You don't seem to worry none about getting beamed again. You're still crowding the plate again, same as you always did.
Well, the only way I know how to hit, sir, only I don't hit.
That's the $46,000 question.
Well, you mean the $64,000 question?
No, son. We know that one always has to have an answer. This one's turned AC-doocy. I just hope there is an answer. We run Dusty through the whole hospital hoopla. Eye tests, neurology responses, some cockamamie new thing called mycology, where they measure muscle reactions, bone scans, the works. The way he comes out of the tests, if they were in a college, he makes Phi Beta Kappa. And a week later, he's 0 for 24. So I gotta take steps.
You ain't eating your spaghetti, Stace.
I got news for you, Gunner. I ain't eating my cornflakes neither, or no tuna fish sandwiches, or no nothing. All I'm eating is my stomach. We're already 3.5 games out, and it's August already. And where are we gonna make a run? Make up on the Reds, or are we already dead?
We gotta get Dusty to hit.
Now you tell me as if I don't know. How are we gonna? I've tried everything I know.
Well, I've been watching him real careful, Chief.
That's nice.
And, there's nothing wrong. It's mental.
I know it's mental. What am I manager for? I don't know when a kid is screwed up in his head. The big question is, where do I reach to unscrew him?
Gee, I don't know.
There's something bothering that boy, only he don't know how to let it out. So I'm going to have to dig to find it. You think you and Pete can run this team a couple of days?
Oh, well, Pete's the coach. You turn it over to him.
I will, but no pitching coach is smart enough to run the whole ball game. Now, you keep an eye on him, you hear?
Yeah. Sure, Stace, but, where are you going?
We got an open day tomorrow. I'm going to make me a little trip. Maybe I won't have to miss no games, but just in case, I could join you in Pittsburgh if I don't make it back here to Atlanta. I'll leave you the number of whatever kind of flea bag hotel they might have in Fry's Corners.
Yeah, Fry's Corners. Where's that at?
Tennessee. It's Dusty's hometown. Maybe I can find the answer there to what's wrong with him.
Oh, you're going to see his folks, huh?
I don't reckon, unless I have to. I want to see a little girl named Sally Mae Rogers. Didn't you tell me that was his girlfriend's name?
Well, yes, sir, but I don't...
Gunner, I'm going to tell you none of us knows what to think. But I used up all the tricks I got. Maybe this little gal can come up with one I ain't got. There just plain wasn't any reasonable way to get to Fry's Corners by public conveyance. The nearest airport was Nashville, which wasn't all that much closer than Atlanta, where we were playing the Braves. So I hired a car and drove it. Fry's Corners was just that. The biggest going business outside of the restaurant was the gas station. They both turned up useful. I gassed up at the station and found Sally Mae at the restaurant. I waited till it closed, which wasn't much after they rolled up the sidewalks.
You're the manager of the team Dusty plays on. He got beamed, didn't he?
He did.
And he's not right?
Oh, he's fine physically, no damage.
I don't know. I read he's only hitting 346 now.
Only 346, huh? Most ball players should be so lucky.
Yeah, but he's dropped pretty near 50 points in the last 2 weeks. What's wrong with him, Mr. Engel?
I was hoping maybe you could tell me that, Sally Mae.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, except for the time he came back here last winter. I haven't seen him that much in the last 2 years.
Was that his doing?
Well, not hardly.
You chase him away?
I reckon maybe I did a small piece. You see, I didn't want to tie him down. I wanted him to make his own way.
As a ball player?
Yes, if that's what he wanted to do. His ma and pa didn't see clear to let him try, but I thought he ought to have the chance.
Even though you didn't approve?
Oh, I didn't figure either way. I just wanted him to be happy. It's the only thing I've ever wanted.
He's pretty miserable right now, Sally Mae.
How come?
He just can't seem to hit.
Why?
I don't know. I think he's got a mental block.
That's Dusty.
What do you mean?
He's just as plain stubborn as any old mule. You know something? He's just like a Chickasaw Valley old cow.
You what?
Oh, it's just a story folks tell. You know, we got this little old valley, and one day the Pharaoh's cow took off and went wild and ran off into the swamp. And when they come to fetch it, it was leaning up against this old hickory tree. And they couldn't budge that old cow until they brought the jeep and threw a harness over her and dragged her off.
Well, it's the darndest thing I ever heard, but that was just one cow.
Oh, no, sir. Right from then, all over the valley, pretty near every family in the valley had the same trouble. The cows took off and headed for that old hickory like it was glue. People was pretty near going crazy till they figured out what to do.
What'd they do?
Well, they just cut down the old tree and dug out the roots, and since then they haven't had no trouble.
You don't say. But what's this got to do with Dusty?
Nothing, I reckon. Except I said he was just as stubborn as them cows once they got a notion in their heads.
Sally Mae, you're right. Dusty has got a notion in his head, only I can't dig it out. I was hoping maybe you could dig it out for me. Now, how'd you like to drive up to Atlanta and see Dusty and find out if you could?
Chief, sure glad you're back.
Hey, how are we doing?
Ah, lousy. 4 runs down.
Dusty?
Still ain't hitting a lick. He's our next hitter.
Hey, what happened?
Lindstrom just got a base on balls.
Oh.
They're all loaded up. You weren't here, I jerked Dusty for a pinch hitter.
No, you don't. I want him to hit for himself.
Okay, you're the boss. He's just gonna make a loud out.
You don't have much faith in your roommate, Gunner.
The whole trouble is, Chief, he don't have no faith in himself.
Yeah, strike one. You got any news out of him yet, why?
No, sir, he's real down. The only thing he said to me was it looked like Mr. Conjurman had him hexed for good.
He still swings real pretty. How'd he miss that? Who's Mr. Conjurman?
You won't tell me.
He struck out.
Yeah, with 3 men on base, that's 33 for all. How you figure he's ever gonna hit again, Chief?
There's something riding him he won't tell us. That's why I brought his girlfriend up here. Maybe she can get him to loosen up and tell us what the trouble is.
It's such a simple game, isn't it? A man throws a ball. The batter has a round stick. All he has to do is swing it so it meets the ball. Why doesn't he? Ah, there have been more words written about that than have been written about the history of the world. More people will agonize about a ball player like Dusty Lane, will he or won't he, than will contemplate their immortal souls. Will he? We'll find that out when I return with Act 3.
You've changed, Bernard. You're not the man I married.
What do you mean, Francine?
Remember the way you were, vulnerable. You made mistakes. But now look, you're confident. Everything you do turns out right. It's that book you sent away for.
It's just a catalog from the Consumer Information Center. It lists more than 200 federal publications you can send for on building, fixing, eating,
buying, selling, working, playing, living.
And more than half of them are free. Yes, Francine, the man you married is gone for good.
All right, Bernard. But would you make just one more mistake for old time's sake?
All right. For you, I'll just replace that window glass like I used to. Whatever you do, learn to do it better. Send for your free catalog. Just write Consumer Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Francine, send for that publication on first aid.
What was that address?
Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Yeah.
Better known as Annie in the hit Broadway musical. Girl Scouts need adult volunteers. Call your local Girl Scout Council today.
Girl, that's part of being a girl. Learning to be in a very big world. Learning to care and learning to share. And seeking the answers tomorrow will bring.
Ballpark is deserted now, the fans long since gone. The players have showered and changed and gone back to their hotels. One solitary figure remains, Dusty Lane. He stands at home plate, disconsolately, his hands in his pockets.
So, here you are. What's the idea of walking out like that? I thought you'd gone back to the hotel. How come you're mooning around here in the ballpark, huh?
Ain't no use anymore, Mr. Engel. I was just kind of saying goodbye.
Goodbye?
Well, can't hit no more. And I never will again. It's time for me to be moving on out.
Now, wait a minute,
sir. Ain't no use to argue, sir. I'm all washed up. There's only one other team that'd have me, and I ain't playing for them no how, no way.
What other team?
Oh, it don't make no, never mind. I ain't gonna play for them. I'm just going home.
To Sally Mae.
And to Ma and Pa.
I thought the main idea was you wanted to get them out of the hills.
Well, that was a dream I had, but it just didn't pan out. I'll go on back and go to work in the mines. Maybe someday I'll be able to support a wife as well as my folks. That is, if Sally Mae will still be around and wants to have me.
That's one thing I reckon you could find out right now.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, where do you think I've been the last 2 days? I went down to Fry's Corners and I brought back a beautiful young lady. She's waiting for you in my office. Maybe she could get you out of the slump and back to doing what you do better than anyone in the world.
Dustin McKeever Lane, what kind of a girl do you think I am?
Well, Sally, I only seen you the one time for a few days in 2 years.
Now, you listen to me, Dustin. I can be just as stubborn as you. I gave you my word I was your girl, and there ain't nothing that's going to change that.
Oh, I don't know, Sally Mae. I'm a flop. You see the game today?
I only saw the last time you struck out.
33 times in a row. Even if I do get the bat on the ball, it's just a loud old foul or a little squibbler straight at someone in the infield.
Mr. Engel says it's just a slump, and the thing to do is to get you out of it.
Oh, it ain't no slump, and there's no way out.
That is no way to think. How do you know?
I'd be ashamed to tell you.
Dustin McKeever Lane, I know you through and through like a book, and I don't believe you ever done or could do anything to be ashamed of.
I walked out on my Ma and Pa, and sort of you.
You didn't walk out on me. I told you I wanted you to go. And you didn't fail your Ma and Pa. They failed you trying to hold you back. Your Ma knows that now. And even your Pa, who's more stubborn than you are, he's coming around.
Well, I still went against what it says in the good book, in Deuteronomy, that I should honor my father and my mother.
Who says you didn't honor them?
Mr. Conjureman.
Who?
Mr. Conjureman.
You know who you're talking about, Dustin?
I reckon I do.
What were you doing having any traffic with him? And how come you believe one single word he said?
I didn't ever dare admit about him to no one. Except in you, Sally Mae. Because you might understand, so I'm going to tell you right now how it was and why I can't play ball no more.
So that's what's eating him. He don't really believe he saw this conjure man. Oh, why didn't he tell me?
It wouldn't be easy for Dustin to talk to you about it in case you wouldn't understand. You have to realize, Mr. Engel, we're some religious down our way. We're fundamentalists.
But, child, I ain't saying a word against religion. I got my own, and I keep it pretty much to myself. But I keep the faith. Trouble is what's happening here is Dusty has lost his. It's a lot more now than just hitting a baseball, don't you agree?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
So we gotta take steps. I want to win a pennant, maybe even a world's championship. But what's more important is to give that boy his faith. How are we gonna do that?
Why is it so hard to hit a ball someone throws at you?
There are some questions. How can you answer? If there was only some way you could coax the ball to go to the bat or the bat to the ball, why then... What was that story you told me about the Chickasaw Valley cows?
Hmm? Oh, when I was talking about stubbornness.
There was a tree, and the cows all broke out and wanted to lean against it or something.
Oh, they got kind of stuck. Like, oh, there was some kind of magnet in the tree, or maybe the sap was something they wanted to rub up against and they couldn't resist.
Like them Loreleis on the Rhine, a man couldn't resist. Or maybe it was the sirens in ancient history. Anyway, it was a kind of a spell.
I reckon I...
Maybe, like the spell Dusty believes this Mr. Conjurman can weave over him.
I don't know how we can shake him out of it.
First off, I've got to have a little private talk with Dusty. Come in.
You sent for me, Mr. Engel?
How come you're not suited up yet?
Well, I told you, sir, I ain't no more use to the team. I quit.
Close the door and come on in.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to talk to you straight out for once. See this here bottle?
Yes, sir.
Sally May tells me you know the story about the Chickasaw cows and the hickory tree down your way.
Yeah, I heard it.
That's good. Now, you sit down and listen to me. When I went down to Fry's Corners to bring Sally May up here, hoping to shake you out of the slump, another notion crossed my mind. A real crazy notion. I decided to give it a whirl.
Well, what was that, sir?
Well, now, you like to use hickory bats, right?
That's right.
And what's a baseball made of?
I don't know all the way. A cork center and then rubber and woolen yarn binding, most as I remember.
Mm-hmm. And the cover?
Horsehide.
Wrong.
Huh?
Hasn't been for years. It's cowhide.
Well, yes, sir, if you say so. But I don't see
what... I'm trying to prove to you a manager's got some use after all. Here's a tree in your hometown area that cows can't stay away from. They gotta rub up against it. Why? I don't know. All I know is if there's a natural attraction between that hickory tree and cowhide, why wouldn't that give the hitter a jump on the ball? Help him to meet it solid, no matter what the pitcher threw.
Well, I can't quite follow you. You mean if someone had bats made from that particular tree?
Too late for that, son. They cut that tree down. But what I did do, I got out to the stump before it dried up, and I got me some of the sap. It's all here in this bottle, the last we'll ever get, but enough to run out the season.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Son, I got Gunner to throw to me, and I tried this out. You rub just a little of this on the fat of the bat, and if the ball is anywhere in the strike zone when you swing, you gotta make contact.
And there's no doubt about that one. It's long gone out of the park, and that is Dusty Lane's second home run of a phenomenal day. There he goes, trotting around the bases in that familiar lope. That mighty whack makes him 5 for 5 on this first day he has broken out of the massive batting slump that's held him hitless for 33 straight at-bats.
Where are you going, Dusty boy?
I'm on deck, Mr. Engel.
You, got the stuff on your bat?
Well, no, sir, not today, sir.
Why not?
Well, I got to thinking it don't hardly seem fair, sir, like taking advantage.
Son, baseball's a game of constantly taking advantage. The whole idea is you gotta win, so why wouldn't you? You christen that bat. We need the hits. It's almost September already, and we're only 3 games up. You want the team to top the league, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And win the pennant?
Yes, sir.
And the World Series?
Yes, sir.
You want that new little wife of yours to keep on being proud of you, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You don't want to let Sally Mae down?
No, sir.
So you get a couple of drops of that magic gunk on your bat, and don't you waste it. It's got to last the season. That's the last there is anywhere.
Yes, sir, Mr. Engel.
Yes, Mr. Engel, we settled in our new home. Fine. Hmm? Oh, Dustin's gone to sleep. He came straight back from the park and helped me unpack, but he finally just plain got wore out, and he was asleep before he even hit the pillow. Anything important? Oh, well, that's real nice. I'll tell him you called. You sleep good, darling. Oh, dear.
No.
Having another one of your bad dreams? Oh, I wonder what's bothering you now, poor lad.
What are you doing here, Mr. Countryman?
Well, now, Dusty, I tell you. I still want you for our team down there.
You can't try to come for me now. This ain't like before. I'm not dying.
Sooner or later, as it must, old man. But we could sure use you this season.
I got my own season to finish here, and the Cougars need my bat. We got 7 games to go, and we're still tied neck and neck with the Reds. And besides, I don't belong with you anymore.
Oh, don't you
now? No.
It's even worse. You haven't even got a guilty conscience?
But what?
Cheating, Dusty, cheating. That magic little bottle with the magical liquid. That's the devil's brew, and you know it. And just so long as you continue to use it, you belong to him.
Okay. Okay, that does it. I ain't gonna use it from now on.
And give up a sure bet that you'll hit over 400, be a rookie of the year, an instant millionaire, let down the team and the great Stacy Engel you worship like a god? The devil, you say?
I will. I will. I'll show you.
Honey, what is it?
I've been a backslider and a sinner, Sally Mae. But starting tomorrow, I'm on the Lord's side no matter what it costs me.
So you poured the contents of the bottle down the sink.
Yes, sir. I want to be sure it was gone for good. That was the devil's brew, and I didn't want to be tempted to sin again.
Son, let me tell you something. You're a good boy, and you never cheated anyone in your life. Dusty, all you was rubbing on your bat was a little plain old sewing machine oil. Yeah. And the story you got from me about finding the tree and sap and all of that is just so much snake oil.
But when I rubbed it on the bat, I started to hit again.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because you had faith again, and isn't that what moves mountains? See, that's the main part of what a manager's for, Dusty, to use psychology any way he can to keep his players going. It's a game of psychology. Don't you ever forget it. And the biggest part of it is all ain't having just natural talent. You gotta have faith in yourself. So you go on out on that field and keep laying that old hickory on the cowhide the way you know how, and go win us all a pennant. You go keep the faith.
The Cougars took their division, then the National League pennant, and went on to meet the Yankees in the World Series. Dusty was named Rookie of the Year, and he also won the Triple Crown. Highest batting average, most runs batted in, most homers. As Stacy Engel would say, if you don't believe it, you could look it up. I'll be back shortly.
Would you hire a person with epilepsy? Before you answer, consider this. Companies that do employ people with epilepsy say these employees often have better job performance, attendance, and safety records than non-handicapped workers. Employers also find that when employees are given the facts about epilepsy, they're most understanding. And even if a person has a seizure on the job, co-workers aren't alarmed. They're helpful. Accident insurance rates don't increase when you employ people with epilepsy. These rates aren't based on who's employed, but on the actual accident experience of the company and of similar companies in the area. Most types of epilepsy are controlled by medication. That's why people who've chosen not to reveal their condition can keep it hidden. Why hide? Well, that gets me back to the question. Would you hire a person with epilepsy? Epilepsy. It's not what you think. Get the facts. Contact your local epilepsy chapter or write Epilepsy Foundation of America, Washington, D.C., 20036.
Perhaps the most fascinating thing about our national game is the wealth of literature it engenders. Not only the reams of statistics, the daily press coverage, and the parade of books that come out year by year, but the stories, short and tall, the baseball legends. And if not all of them are exactly true, who's going to complain? Just so long as they entertain. Our cast included Russell Horton, Rosemary Rice, Ian Martin, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
I wonder what they make glue out of these days.
I don't want to think about it.
Stupid horse.
Stupid horse?
Look what you got me into.
I got you into it? If you were dumb enough to buy a horse, sight unseen, why blame me?
Never mind who's to blame. What am I going to do now?
Don't ask me.
Look, you can't afford to have that attitude.
Don't make so much noise. I'm old. I deserve respect.
You deserve Hey, wait a minute. Who am I talking to?
What do you mean, who are you talking to?
Can't be. I think I'm going crazy.
Why are you going crazy?
Because I am standing here, and I think I am talking to a horse.
You think you're talking to a horse. You are talking to a horse.
Come on, that's impossible.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
John Paul II has left little doubt how he feels about social activism in the church. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Continuing his visit to Mexico, the pontiff spoke to the Latin American Bishops' Conference today and came down on the side of those who want the church to stay out of politics. Jerry Bowen has a report from Mexico City.
Pope John Paul II, in the first major lecture of his young papacy, firmly rejected the so-called liberation theology, the philosophy that aligned the Latin American church with the poor and sent reform-minded clerics on the attack, sometimes violently, against governments which they viewed as oppressive. The pontiff declared, "The church does not need systems or ideologies to aid in the liberation of man. The church wants to be free of any systems that have been adopted by man. Christ will be with those who are poor," said the pontiff, "not through violence or political systems, but through the true word." Conservative church leaders on this continent have criticized liberation theology as being Marxist-influenced and destructive to the long-range goals of the church. The pontiff said the doors of the church should be open to all classes and that change should be brought about through education. His speech clearly stunned progressives in the audience, while conservatives, who now feel strongly allied with this new pontiff, could barely contain their joy over the direction he outlined for the church in Latin America. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Mexico City.
More news in a moment. Chinese Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping went to dinner in Virginia tonight on the first evening he spent in the United States. Deng arrived this afternoon in Washington for his 9-day official visit. In an unscheduled move, he was driven to the Virginia home of National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, who said he wanted to give Deng a roast beef dinner. Secretary of State Vance also dined at the Brzezinski home. Many Americans remain concerned about Washington's break with Taiwan in order to normalize relations with the mainland. Among them is former envoy to Peking, George Bush.
I'd like to see some statement by China, and I know it's difficult because I know the China question. I know how they and Taiwan look at the question of one China. But we have to get some statement that will guarantee a peaceful solution.
Bush appeared on ABC's Issues and Answers. Former President Richard Nixon returned to Washington tonight for his first visit to the White House since he left there in disgrace 4 years ago. Mr. Nixon flew to the Capitol on a commercial airliner, then went by limousine.